The Founders Live Podcast tells unique and inspiring stories of entrepreneurship from all over the world. Be sure to join thousands of entrepreneurs on founderslive.com. Now, quick word from our sponsors before we get started. Hey everyone, it's Nick. The world tells us there's not enough pie to go around. So what? We'll just make a bigger pie. Our new partner, Women in Cloud, has taken action with global leaders and policymakers to help women entrepreneurs create $1 billion in economic access by 2030. The joint partnership between Founders Live and Women in Cloud is part of the global expansion work to create $1 billion or more in economic access for women entrepreneurs. As a part of this partnership, we will join forces to provide incredible joint community access to education and advisors in helping them build successful enterprise-ready companies. In addition, both of the communities are invited to be a part of the UN delegation and collectively address UN Sustainable Development Goal Number 5 by 2030. Learn more at womenincloud.com. Hey everyone, welcome to the Founders Live Podcast, where we tell unique and inspiring stories of entrepreneurship from all over the world. I'm Nick Hughes. I am the CEO and founder of Founders Live. And today's guest, we have Rita Parker. She's in New York and she's the founder of Genesis Home, also in the real estate industry. Rita, how are you doing today?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing very well. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting in Chicago, Illinois right now. Where are you at?
NYC, and really craving a deep crust pizza, so deep dish. So you're a lucky individual right now.
You know, I guess I am, and I'm excited to, go out at least and go grab a deep dish pizza. But I can say this, though. The deep dish, as you know, the competition between deep dish and like really large, like flat, thin piece that you fold over that you find in New York. I mean, I love both of them. We're jumping right into it, but what are your thoughts on that?
Thing is, I like deep dish because they don't put the sauce at the bottom. They put the sauce at the top. And something about that, like, that citrus, that like acidity you get first from that creaminess really changes it. The thing with pizza here in New York is that the reason why like this, the way it's proportioned to make it easier for us to maneuver. So I mean, my family's had conversations about this like multiple times and we're kind of split. So most of us are more deep dish people. And like very small percentage, like, you know, the regular New York style pizza, even though people eat New York pizza wrong, to be honest with you.
I'm sure I'm one of those, but you know what? It still tastes so damn good.
It does.
So, well, Rita, this is so great. This is a really cool and special opportunity, a special conversation. Because I just want to kind of level set here a little bit and then want to hear your background and help us understand a little more about yourself. But, you know, you've been around Founders Live for a number of years. I mean, I don't know, you were definitely in some of the early stages, some of our earliest members. And, you know, just for everyone to know, I mean, Rita's there in New York. I was living in Seattle. That's where I started Founders Live. And, you know, I'm kind of still tied to Seattle a little bit, but, Rita, I've never met you in person. And yet, you know, I just feel like it's so cool that, you know, we've seen each other online a lot and, you know, you're active on Founders Live. So, welcome. I think this is a really cool opportunity and episode. And, you know, tell us a little bit more about your background and then maybe how you came into the Founders Live ecosystem.
So I've always felt like I was an entrepreneur growing up. You know, chores were not really chores to me. They were kind of like you know, opportunities to learn certain things in my house. So I was always a student and I was always a nerd, but I was never really good at the standard. I always set my own standards. So like when I would go to take I was in AP physics. I wasn't the best student, but I knew that if I achieved this level of a certain level of success within my class, I knew that would make sense. And it kind of traveled on to projects, would then turned into, you know, when it came time to apply for jobs, there was just things that I didn't feel like I would fit in. It just didn't make sense to me. So I've always wanted to do my own thing. I've always wanted to be my own person. And entrepreneurship, while it's not easy, it's a lifestyle that made sense because it's always challenging. It's never boring. You always have to learn because you always have to either stay ahead of the game a little bit or understand the game at all, and no matter what industry you're in. And found when I stumbled on Founders Live, it was under the idea that maybe there's others like me out there that are trying to navigate or, you know, find a way to create something within this world we live in. And Founders Live kind of does that. What it does is, you know, if you have an idea, you have a concept, but you're not really there yet, it nurtures that with you. So I had a couple of businesses that I played with for a while, and I think you know that. So I had a couple of businesses that I played with, and they were good, but then I realized that I was trying to create something without actually being involved in it, and that's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really interesting insight that we can maybe tap into a little later on in the conversation, but I think it's so cool that you were able to, you know, stumble upon Founders Live. You basically just were able to find other people that we just have the same, you know, we identify together, and, you know, you're basically like, okay, look, am I weird? You know, and, you know, maybe we all are, right? But then you're like,
yeah,
wait, there's others that think the same way as me, or at least like see the world the same way as me. So that's, you know, that's why we started Founders Live. And, you know, I think the kind of the last question on this topic or just this direction is, you know, in those early stages, because I know that there's a lot of people that are listening right now that might be in those earlier stages of like, is this a direction I want to go in my life? What one or two things maybe helped you the most with, you know, in regards to Founders Live in your early part of your journey, even before you had really committed to even real estate and starting your company, you know, how did Founders Live sit in your life to help you stay in the game and stay connected? What were some of the things that helped you with that?
Founders Live does two things very well. And if this is can be converted to a little bit of advice, Founders Life gives you the area to, here we go. Okay, hold on a minute. My package is here. Sorry.
For all you listening, I was telling Rita that, you know, we're authentic here. And, you know, she said that there might be a little bit of someone that needs to deliver a package, and I said, hey, you know, take that opportunity real quick, and then she'll jump right back in here.
Okay, I'm back. I got it.
There you go.
Okay, so one, the great thing about Founders Live and why I will always be a member is that you can face your fears without judgment. So if you're not sure if this is the career you want, or this is the life you see yourself as, with you get to test the waters a little bit before fully jumping into the pool. I didn't really get that growing up. It was always, if you really want to do it, just go ahead and do it. Like, if I wanted to play the drums, I played the drums. If I wanted to do this, I just did it. Okay? So, Founders Live provides the structure to be weird. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, I love the feedback. So it's like a community think tank type system that I really, really love. That, hey, this is the website. What do you guys think? Is anything should change? Things like that. Like, what? How are you feeling here? And I would get responses, and I would actually adjust it based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my fellow weirdos don't get it, I know normal people won't.
That's so true. You know, that's so true. And, you know, that's also we, you know, our hope is that, you know, as Founders Live continues to grow, that, you know, that engagement, that feedback can continue to even and get larger and even more impactful. So we, you know, if you're listening to this, we encourage you to do what Rita has done, which is, you know, post, you know, push things onto Founders Live, ask for feedback. Hey, you know, we just updated our website. What do you think? Having some questions here on how we set up, you know, our company, how did you, you know, do X, Y, Z, you know, that's why we're there. That's, you know, that's why we're creating this global community around the world. So yeah, take leadership from Rita. She's definitely, you know, you've done a great job on that, Rita, and being active and asking questions. So I really love it.
Also, one thing I do want to say, and I think what makes Founder Life awesome, like really like seals the deal, for, at least for me, we're in a world that's constantly changing. And for a while there, I was really surrounded by people who just said, just get a job. And there's nothing wrong with a job. Don't get me wrong. It pays the bills. But they'll say, you know, just get a job. Don't worry about this. No one's going to invest in something. No one's going to be looking at things like this. So it's this headspace that you're kind of in when you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're trying to figure out who you want to be. And it's so easy to just give up on your dreams or give up on your goals because that's what, you know, your environment tells you. The great thing about Founders Live is that it takes you out of your local environment and says, hey, there's others out there like you. You just have to embrace your nerdiness.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about your vision and your direction, especially as you've started Genesis Home and, you know, definitely in the real estate space. Tell us more about that. What are you building and why?
Okay, so let me preface this with, I love my career now. I love real estate. I love what it does to a city, a county, and a state, mm-hmm. Okay? But when you are starting as an agent, it could be New York, it could be California, it could be Nevada, it could be wherever. You are essentially alone. You really have to build up your business as a solo person, even if you're with a team. You know, sometimes you're like, you have like, you're like real estate teams and stuff like that. You're essentially alone in certain aspects. And when I got started, I didn't realize the level, kind of how much that has an impact on your commitment and how you grow. So I was playing around, as you guys know I do. I was playing around and I learned through Founders Live and reading, you know, business books, marketing, consulting, that if you really want to grow in anything, you don't focus on the money, you focus on the services. And it's the services and personality that will build up your business. So essentially the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So as an agent, I was thinking, what do I want to project? What do I want people to know about me? And I did not want them to think that I am intimidating all the time. I just want to make that part known.
All the time.
But all the time. Not to protect my business, I am a little. But to my clients, I'm not that intimidating. So I wanted something also that businesses, especially small businesses that tend to get overlooked, have a chance to shine. So I wanted my clients to not feel intimidated by real estate. I wanted the businesses to have their own little threshold in real estate. And I wanted agents, including myself, have resources to help both at the same time. So the Genesis Home, and we say Genesis for short because saying the Genesis home every 15 seconds tends to get a little long-winded. The great thing about Genesis is the fact that you can, basically, it takes a village to help a client. That client will succeed knowing that not only am I buying my first condo co-op home, I have the opportunity to invest. I have the opportunity to build my own business while I'm owning this home. So I am not losing my goals long-term, short-term. So that was essentially the plan here, was to build a resource or build a community that helps the small business owner that tends to get overlooked. Because if you go and say, I'm thinking of buying, building a house, you're going to focus on the guy in the 50s. They're going to focus on, you know, Jimmy and Sons down the block from you. With me, Jimmy and Sons gets first dibs at the bid before the guy with the 15 places in 35 cities and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's really how it's structured. And it's structured with that intent that my empire helps other people's and build their empires as well. So if they succeed, I succeed. If that business does well, I'm happy.
I like that.
And that's really how it's structured.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's a good way to approach business, in my opinion. That's what we're doing with Founders Live as well. How has the recent changes or challenges around the world, but especially in the United States, how has this pandemic and even the economic challenges now affected even just the industry in general, and then maybe your perspective on it?
So the industry right now, and this is not a sales pitch, this is reality. The reality is the industry is struggling a little bit. Okay, you can call it a buyer's market, call it a seller's market, don't care. The industry is struggling because people can't move. Not entirely. You know, you have the self-quarantine for 14 days. You have, like, there's so many procedures now before you even look at a property that you have to walk through with someone. As an agent, it's disheartening because there's certain states you can't do your normal, like, outreach, what they call lead generation, so that you can't do the normal things. So on a national level, and somewhat on an international level, real estate kind of has been, you know, like a slow froze. So it's not totally frozen, but it's like, what's that thing called? Like shallow water type of thing. So it's really not frozen, like nothing's really stopped. People are still buying, but it's not at the same rate as it used to. Now, we did establish in the beginning of this conversation, I'm a little bit weird. So I kind of took this as an opportunity. And what I did was restructure Genesis for what's going to happen next. And what's going to happen next is this. You're going to see more people rely on virtual than before. You're going to see more owners and agents on Zoom calls and, you know, conversations on FaceTime than they were before. They're going to rely on those, you know, inspections differently than they were before. You know, the role of the agent, the role of the appraiser, and the role of the attorney will definitely change going forward. And this is where you tell the difference of when it comes to an agent between the seller, to a salesperson, that someone just wants to sell things and just get a commission, and an actual entrepreneur business person. Because the business person is going to go, okay, if this is what we're seeing and this is what's going to be next, I want to prepare for not only what's next, but what's going to come behind it.
Yeah.
The salesperson is going to go, I'm not doing any of this work. I don't even know what I'm looking at. I just want to sell rentals. I just want to do that. So you're really seeing not just a shift in the market, but you're really seeing the difference between what an agent who is in it just for the commission check and an agent who's really in it to build the business and provide a service.
And do you
and
think
how they structure that?
Yeah. Do you think those that are just in it for a commission check are there's going to be a shakeout?
Yes. I think, especially with like brokerage firms, they're gonna either restructure their businesses to accommodate this new change and train their agents differently, or they're just gonna you know, walk away, because I'm not doing all this extra work for just a, you know, some money aside, you know, I'm not gonna do all of that. Yeah. So it's gonna be a weeding out process, unfortunately. And there's going to be a lot of good people that are leaving that I hope will not, but, you know, it's reality. I can't fix that. But I am hoping that I see more community in real estate going forward, because it really was the local businesses that made, especially in New York, that got us through the pandemic. You know, as much as I respect Target and, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond is really cool too. But my local corner store, or here in New York, we call them bodegas, you know, they're the ones that made sure we ate. They're the ones, yeah, that made sure that there was, you know, toilet paper and paper towel and bread. So they made sure those essentials were there. It was the local supermarkets that really got us through. It was those local restaurants. It was those local 99-cent stores. So I'm really, really hoping that there's more respect or newfound respect for those small businesses.
On that topic, you know, for better and for worse, what do you think the results after the pandemic, and let's just talk about, you know, New York specifically, how much percentage of those local businesses are gonna go out of business? How much are gonna stay in business? But you know, the majority are, but there is gonna be a percentage that. And what are you seeing on a local level as New York City opens back up? Are they gonna survive?
So, let me just clarify the question quick. So you're just asking when, you know, we get COVID more under control and there's a chance of, you know, a full reopening system, you know, cause we're still in like phase two. New York runs in phases. So, mm-hmm. You're asking what will be the fallout from that?
Yeah. From year end, what you're seeing and who you're talking to, what do you think will be the fallout?
So this part sounds bad, but it's not. I see a lot of like high-end boutiques going out of business. Not a lot, but based off the numbers, we're seeing more high-end places close up shop. So, you know, places like there's a little like children's boutique store. It's kind of like a fancy Gymboree. They don't have Gymboree everywhere. So it's kind of like a fancy children's store. They just file for protection. So we're getting a lot of protections. Mm-hmm. But it's not mostly the smaller businesses. It's mostly the larger ones that are getting most hit. So, you know, like Bed Bath Beyond just filed for protection here. Oh, and yeah. New York's one of the places that they're looking at. Bath and Body Works. So a lot of the larger companies, you know, anyone who's a huge fan of Cheesecake, the Cheesecake Factory also filed for protection, and the Cheesecake Factory also told their people and told their landlords they can't pay rent.
Well, and, you know, I mean, on this topic, I agree with you, and it's interesting to see, you know, what's happening. And these large companies that we're very familiar with, what we're seeing is that how high leveraged they were, and quite exactly. frankly, they're so leveraged, and you know, they can't even last a couple months without revenue, which on a side note, geez, you know, business is revenue, right? Like any business does run on the revenue that's generated. So whenever you put a wrench in the operations of no matter what business it is, of course they're going to struggle because they're operating on a monthly, you know, quarterly cycle. But it was striking that when you see these brands and you're like, oh my gosh, like, are you kidding me? Like they're dropping that quickly.
Exactly. And then you have like, and not only are they dropping that quickly, you're hearing that in reality, they were just running on vapors anyway. That's like the twisted part. I just read an article about Brooks Brothers. I mean, how many friends do we know in some way, shape, or form either ordered, had, or bought a Brooks Brothers tie because they couldn't afford the suit? So, I mean, and just to hear something that was around since like the 70s, got really, really popular around the 70s, especially 80s, here in New York and the tri-state area, which is New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and you're hearing they're filing for Chapter 11 protection, you're going, how is that possible? So Brooks Brothers is struggling, but Men's Warehouse is okay?
Well, and that just shows how it shows that, I mean, there's a lot of things going on here, but number one.
And it also shows you that they're not really, they didn't really budget their business. They budget the image. And that's really the problem here with a lot of businesses. Because even, you know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. So WWE is kind of like my buddy. I also like AEW, but that's a tangent. But I even noticed with them, they had to cut, you know, staff. They cut what they call talent, which are wrestlers. So they're cutting people. And this is a $1 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're telling me that a $1 billion company doesn't have reserves for up to maybe, just play it safe, 2, 3, 5 years to compensate? Because that's how long it's going to take for us to get really back to normal, right, or normal, or embrace a new normal. It's going to take time. And if your business can't weather that, but a small business like a bodega or a small like tailor shop can, that's going to change how consumers buy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to realize, then where's my money going? Is mm-hmm. it really going to help these employees? Or is it going to your pocket? Is it going to actually protect the things that I like? Because if that's not where it's going, then I'm going to go get my stuff from the tailor. I'm going to go to a local wrestling, you know, center. You know, I'm going to put my money where I know it's going to make most sense. And that's what you're seeing with consumers today. And that's because of the pandemic. I mean, people are more aware now that their money really does matter. Because if their money didn't matter, there wouldn't be this kind of level of intense, you know, filing for bankruptcy. There wouldn't be an announcement from the commercial division of real estate saying that there might be a chance that the commercial industry is going to be kind of paralyzed for about 6, 7 years mm-hmm. because it's so tight. And people are saying, and they're not even filing to leave. They're just packing their stuff and leaving. So that's not even a conversation anymore. They're not even telling their landlords to close up shop. They just closed up shop and went back home. So these things are really important to know when you're an entrepreneur or when you're in real estate or whatever, because that tells you where the market's at. Dow Jones only tells me but so much. NASDAQ mm-hmm. only tells me but so much. But knowing how, but it's really the people that define the market. So if Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, which has like 4, 5, 6 stores in this in Manhattan, are potentially closing up like maybe 3 of them. What is Bed Bath & Beyond doing? Where are they putting that money?
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's what I'm hearing. This is an amazing insight, actually, and really interesting insight. This entire experience, we're only 4 or 5 months into it, maybe, you know, arguably. This is a long road, and it's going to permanently impact and change the way things are done, specifically us and our generation as entrepreneurs. So how you've been answering it a little bit already, but you know, how much do you think this changes the way that we will go about building our companies and our brands because of what we're literally experiencing in this very moment? Watching big brands go to, you know, Chapter 11 bankruptcy when we're like, no, what, how could that could be? And now understanding that we, as we build our businesses, need to learn from this experience and actually change. So how do you think it's actually going to change the business world and specifically, you know, just you in general as an entrepreneur?
I think we're going to change our perspective a little bit. I mean, there's a theory in school, I learned in history class actually, that people start businesses out of survival, but the businesses grow out of necessity. And I never understood what that meant until now. So what we're learning as entrepreneurs and as business people is that when we start things, there's a necessity, there's a need, there's a survival that we are not getting anywhere else. And we build these businesses out of that. When we build a business, it's because not only did we see that survival need, others did as well. During this pandemic, I think as entrepreneurs, we have a different kind of responsibility. I think now our responsibilities are more about how do we not just protect our assets as investors, because you're an investor when you started Founders Live, you took time and energy and, you know, physical capital to build up Founders Live. Mm-hmm. But you also have to consider how do people factor into this. So I'm just going to, you know, throw my business under the bus for a second. We took a huge hit in 2020. Okay. Our obviously capital went down, money went down. We got lucky because I'm like conservative with my reserves that I didn't like touch it until I had to. But what we did was focus on the people. So we changed it that they can call us anytime on our direct like customer line and they can ask questions, because you have a lot of clients, a lot of like tenants and buyers going, how am I going to handle this if I just put mm-hmm. down an offer? How am I going to stay in my apartment? How am I going to get a new apartment? Because I just found out I can't afford my rent, which is a very popular conversation I'm having.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm finding out now that the business and everything I had, or the job I was part of, you know, I didn't budget correctly, so I can't pay my bills. So now, even though I want to stay in Manhattan, I got to go to lower offers. So I think as entrepreneurs, if we want to stay entrepreneurs, we have to be a little bit more serious. We have to be a little bit more honest, and we have to be more comfortable with uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
Okay. This is no longer a pitch type of moment. This is no longer, I think you've heard about Instagram, that even influencers are taking a hit, because now people are realizing, oh my God, that bag is not going to save my life.
Right.
That beautiful Gucci Louis Vuitton thing. I don't know. I'm not a name brand person. So, you know, thing is not going to make me get like the $1 million job. What is wrong with you, Kylie? Like, you know, like you're realizing that the image doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
So our responsibilities are no longer image based now. Our responsibilities are now, how do we build our business and still be genuine? And that's really what you're seeing. That's why, you know, the bodega is going to do better than Bath and Body Works. That's why you're going to see that your local tailor actually do very well at the end of this, more than, you know, Men's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Because the tailor was honest with you. He said, man, you can't fit in those pants. I don't even know why you're trying.
Right.
He goes to Men's Warehouse and they'll say, of course you look good. No one can see your big belly. Like, you know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah.
Great. And he walks around and goes to like an opener and goes to like hang out with friends, and he can't sit down because his pants ripped. Yeah. But the tailor was honest with you, saying, I told you you didn't fit him.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so you see more people, when it comes to entrepreneurs, you're going to see more people be more honest and genuine, because that's the only way they're going to survive this. It's no longer image. Image is not cutting it anymore. What do you bring to the table? How does this benefit me? And how does this benefit my situation? That's why salons are like going to be loved right now. That's why you see hear so many people about beauty supply, because that's a necessity. Mm-hmm. Speaking as a woman, that is definitely a necessity. You know, there's, you know, people are looking more into medical because they're realizing that is a necessity. So they're looking at how do these businesses, or how does your business fit this necessity, answers this question, addresses this issue.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's like the rawness of entrepreneurship is going to be what's popular going forward. Does that make sense? That's the best way to explain it.
Makes a lot of sense. And that's why I feel like Founders Live is perfectly positioned. And you mentioned it earlier, which is like, look, and I tell founders a lot, you know, of course we have to be mindful of the situations going around the world, but you can't apologize for maybe being in the right place at the right time. It's our responsibility as entrepreneurs to bring solutions to the problems that are presented in the world now and then going forward. And so, you know, like if you have like, and it's our job because that's how we recover is we start creating more opportunities that are prevalent and ready now, not a year ago or 5 years ago. Gone and it's a different world. So
and I agree completely. That's why you're hearing, that's why, you know, I think I know a lot of people are not pop culture people. I tend to dabble in it, so I know how to like survive Manhattan. So Madonna posted something not too long ago about, you know, staying home and that she understands the people. And as she like laying in like, I think it was like a tub she was in and like roses and she was drinking champagne. Like, I get your struggle. So Paris Hilton comes out of nowhere and says, no, you don't. I don't even get this struggle. So why are you posting this? So when Paris Hilton starts to make sense, you know, there's a problem.
You got it.
You know, and that's really what you're seeing. Like, you're seeing this disconnect. And and without sounding opportunistic and a little douchey, that's where entrepreneurs usually thrive. We thrive in the in-between. Just like, you know, the Great Depression. The reason why we, as a country, we kind of came out of the Great Depression the way we did, besides World War II and everything. The reason why we came out of the Great Depression the way we did was because of the entrepreneurs. It was because of that, you know, Apple salesman and the laundry lady on the third floor and the babysitter on the second floor, you know, watching your kids as you go to work and sell your apples. Yeah. It's always been the entrepreneur that, you know, finds a way to change a dynamic during times of crisis, during times of when things get real, because we're real people. So we get it in a totally different way. We get it as business people, but we also get it as humans.
This is so great. I love it. I love it. This is great. And you know, we don't have too much time left, but I did want to touch on, you know, just underrepresentation in tech and entrepreneurship, and you know, tying to what you just said, you know, we are real people, and you know, we, our industry and even leadership in our industry and founders creating wealth needs to be equally represented to society in general. And we're not there yet. How can we get there from your perspective? I guess the question is, you know, if you had a brush and you could paint the picture, what sort of things would help you as you identify in these areas to grow your business and be more successful?
That's a good question.
What would you like to see that maybe is not there yet? You know, support for underrepresented founders, you know, education or groups for individuals of this nature, or, you know, what could Founders Live do? I think that, I mean, that's clearly my angle of the question, but what would you like to see from the industry in general? You know, I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I think you and I had a conversation similar to this, like, not too long ago about addressing, you know, key topics within our industry and how can we be more, not transparent, but more learning. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, we have a superpower that most people don't have, and we have it as entrepreneurs. And we don't use it enough. I think we're kind of selfish with it.
Before you go into it, describe that superpower and then follow on with what you're going to say.
Okay. The superpower is we are comfortable being uncomfortable. Okay. That is a gift. That is a level of confidence that a lot of people don't have. We are comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's so true.
So when something's not right, when things are complacent, we're not good with complacency. Think about it. How many times have you been across this country and half the planet? Like, think about it. Every time you pop up, I don't know if you're in London. I don't know if you're in New York. I don't know if, you know, you're waving from Canada. It's like, where's Waldo? So, yeah. You know, we as entrepreneurs, that is our superpower. But we have to include it for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you're in a business, I call Genesis my baby. Because it is my baby. And no one's going to get my kid but me. Okay, there might be people that get bits and pieces. They'll understand a few concepts. Like some people like the blog. Some people like the resource page. They'll find their favorite part of my kid, but I love all of my kid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I am uncomfortable. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That means that when I'm talking to a client, when I'm talking to a fellow entrepreneur, like talking to you, I can honestly say with confidence that I am open to listening to that because of my superpower. We are not good with complacency, and we shouldn't be good with complacency anywhere.
So
if you want to address, you know, more equality or more of a equal platform, we have to embrace our superpower, and that being we are uncomfortable. Okay.
That is so good.
Here's a weird thing. Last night, I'm always taking classes. Like this, I know like right now I'm in the middle of like three classes right now. And I'm taking one right now called about like nearby program, which basically is a virtual way of people selling their properties and someone buying it maybe from another state or things like that, paying cash. And I'm learning about that platform and I ask questions and some people rag on me. That sounds like a their problem, but it doesn't stop me from listening. How are we supposed to grow as people if we're not embracing the uncomfortable? If we're not embracing, like I said, during the 1920s, during the 70s, during the 60s, we were uncomfortable, but change happens during that time. So as entrepreneurs, we have a responsibility to use our superpower for everything. We have to be uncomfortable so we can grow. So if you want to address equality and address a level playing field in some capacity, you got to use your super.
Yep. This is absolutely so good to hear. And the way that you describe it is very, very valuable to what we are looking to bring to, you know, the ecosystem and just you putting words to. We are used to getting uncomfortable in other ways, but we need to get used to being uncomfortable in this area. And it's uncomfortable conversations and it's uncomfortable, you know, things I'm learning is, I'm not perfect. And, I am flawed because I'm a human being. And there's things that I say and do that I'm not necessarily aware of. And that does add to the problem. And right. So, you know, getting uncomfortable and actually like, you know, evaluating this and learning exactly. About it is the first step. So,
but part of being uncomfortable is we also got to drop, and this is a very human thing that we do. And I'm a victim of it. I mean, I'm still, you know, struggling with myself. We have to stop being so defensive.
Yes.
Because defensive blocks learning, defensive blocks listening, and defensive messes with our superpower.
Yep.
And until we address that part, this is going to keep going. Until we realize that the issue, and I don't know if if I can bring this up, but a lot of the issues with like Black Lives Matter and, you know, racism and, you know, the level of ignorance is largely due to the fact that it's really about accountability. It's really about mental health. So until we address those issues within ourselves, and until we are comfortable enough with ourselves to be uncomfortable to have those conversations, this is going to keep going, and we're going to keep having these conversations. So yeah. If I had like any entrepreneurial advice, use your superpower. Go be uncomfortable.
I really, really, really like that. And I really, really appreciate you sharing that, because it helps a lot. And, you know, I hope that, you know, anyone listening today is taking that, not just, in consideration, really doing some soul searching on how they are wielding their superpower to really help this. Gosh. Well, Rita, we are coming to the end here, and it's too bad, because I think we could really go for another hour or two, but where can we find more information, connect with you, find more information on your projects and your businesses?
Well, obviously I'm on Founders Live, so mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Come mm-hmm. knock on my virtual door. on Instagram, The Genesis Home, it has its own Instagram page. On mine, it's Rita Anthony Parker. So pretty simple, straightforward. And on my page, you get everything. So you get Genesis and the real estate. On Genesis, you get more of the community. So you get to learn a little more about the network. You get to meet the different agents that are part of the group itself. You know, you get to get little tips on not just real estate, but business as well. So you have a bit of a well-rounded understanding. And we try to make business and real estate a little less intimidating for people who want to get into it. Because I feel like it's like double dutch. Once they're in, they're fine. So we kind of set the social media and the website to make it more homey, you know?
Yeah.
We want it to be like, I can totally do this license thing. I can totally have, that's what we're also doing Specialty Thursday. So they can learn about the different specialties in real estate and the different specialties in HR and the different specialties in business that doesn't feel as overwhelming and that is tangible.
Yeah.
So Instagram and Founders Live, have fun.
All right. Well, Rita Parker, thank you so much. This has been a very beneficial and helpful conversation. And hey, by the way, it's just awesome to talk with you. You know, I know that we've been connected, and it's been a pleasure seeing you on Founders Live. Yeah, I know it's not going to stop, so that's cool. And let's just stay close.
Yes, please. And I really like the, you know, like when you post like your blogs about like where you are. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of like a Where's Waldo meets Carmen Sandiego type thing. Like you never know where you pop up, but when you do, it's like in these like really cool, like there's a photo of like some like really cool thing in the background, and it's really cute in like Ontario.
Yeah.
For a New Yorker, you going to Canada, Canada is not really much of a big deal because it's like across the border from us. Mm-hmm. And it costs like $50 to go to Canada from New York. And the food's really good, so.
Yeah, I've been a little quieter on my travels. I'm traveling safe, but I'm, you know, during COVID, it's a little different world now, obviously. So, but you'll see more over time. You'll see more. And
hey, I have a question for you, really mm-hmm. quick. And I know you were wrapping this up, but have you ever thought of blog? It's like a It's not a TikTok, because I know TikTok is going through its own issues, but it's like a 10-second blurb of like where you are, and you get to name like one thing that you like about that place. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to send it to you. But this is guy who actually travels, and he picks like, he does it for a minute, and he talks about like these countries that he's been to or these areas, and for like, he'll mention like this one cool thing about it that people really should look at. And when I find it, I'm totally going to send it to you. I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah, send it to me. I would love to see it. And well, great. All right, Rita, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting. And for everyone else, this is the Founders Live podcast, where we tell unique and inspiring stories of entrepreneurship from all around the world. Keep listening. We release a couple every week, and you know, please rate us on any of your favorite listening platforms. Check out founderslive.com. A lot of great stuff going on there. And then if you're interested in starting a Founders Live event coming out of your area of the world, please reach out. We're definitely expanding. So thank you all so much, and stay healthy and stay safe.